Bibles this morning to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28. It was a blessing during those weeks leading up to last Sunday to slowly look at the things the Lord Jesus Christ did for us. The punishment that he accepted and the crucifixion that he allowed and all the things that led up to last Sunday when he rose from the dead. And folks, he did that for you. You believe that, amen? He died on that cross. He suffered those stripes. He had that crown of thorns placed on his head. He did all that. Don't think about anybody else for a second. He did that for you. He did that to save me from my sins, to save you from your sins. And it was a little bit tough to see the details of what he endured. Sure enjoyed last Sunday as we saw the difference that it made in the lives of people when he rose from the dead. The ladies that expected to be dealing with a dead corpse instead met a living Savior. And the disciples were told to go to meet with him in Galilee. We're going to see something about that next week. But if you wanted a little cute message title for this message, it would probably be Damage Control. Because you remember that the priests and the elders said, you know, we better be careful because he said he was going to rise from the dead. And we're afraid that his disciples are going to go steal his body. By the way, they had no such plans. And they didn't need to have those kind of plans. Amen. But they said, just in case, let's guard that tomb. Now, when I was in the Army, we had, and I wish I could recite them. I had memorized them. We had general orders, we called them. And before, I remember the first time I went on guard duty, it would have been in Fort Riley, Kansas in 1978, and we had to know those general orders. And it was fairly well understood that when you are on guard duty, if you fall asleep, you don't want to know what's going to happen. You're going to get court-martialed. You're going to be in big trouble. In the Roman army, we took pride in being a soldier. And I, as a soldier, if I was going to be on guard duty, I was going to have my weapon clean, my uniform looking sharp, and I was going to be where I was supposed to be, alert and attentive. And the last thing I was going to do is slough off and go to sleep, especially if there were several of us. But what happened here is they put these guards on the tomb. And you know what? Jesus rose anyway. And they got a bigger problem. They've created a bigger problem because now there's a group of men that saw what happened. And they saw the angel and they saw the empty tomb. And they were so scared that they wouldn't even move when the angel was there. So something's got to be done about that. Jesus rose from the dead. And it's interesting to see how different people reacted to it. And as we continue through the message, I think each of us need to make this personal and ask ourselves, how are we reacting to it? How are we changed and how are we speaking and telling others based upon the fact that we know Christ rose from the dead? Let's stand for the reading of God's word. I'm going to read just a few verses here, Matthew chapter 28. I'm going to read verses 11 through 20. 11 through 20, and we'll have a word of prayer. Matthew 28, beginning in verse 11. Now, when they were going, that's the women saw him. But now, when they were going, behold, some of the watch came into the city and showed unto the chief priests all the things that were done. And when they were assembled with the elders and had taken counsel, they gave, I like this word, large money unto the soldiers, saying, say ye, his disciples came by night and stole him away while we slept. And if this come to the governor's ears, we will persuade him and secure you. So they took the money and did as they were taught. And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we come before you this morning, and I thank you that you were willing to send the Lord Jesus Christ to die for me. I thank you that he rose the third day just as he promised. Help us not to take that for granted. Help us not to think it a small thing that he rose from the dead and that he paid for our sins. God, one day we're going to step before you and we're going to enter into eternity and live with the Lord Jesus Christ forever and ever. And as we do so, every day, I trust we're going to thank you for what you've provided to pay for our sins. And every day we're going to trust, I trust that we're going to thank you for sparing us from the punishment that we deserved. God, today, help us, please, as we look into this passage. I can do nothing, but I pray that you'd help these folks to see some things in here that would apply to their lives. We ask in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. I'm only going to go down to verse 17 in the message today. We're going to look at the last few verses next week. But really wanted to focus a little bit more on the verses 11 through 14 to start. And just think about what happened. Now, we know Christ rose from the dead for a couple of reasons. Number one, the Bible says so. And number two, the Spirit of God has worked in us, and I don't know how to describe this, so that we have faith. Just as sure, if you ask me, Pastor, is the sun going to come up tomorrow morning? Yep, sure is. Even if the Lord comes back, there'll be a tomorrow. We may be with him in heaven, but the sun's going to come up tomorrow. I have no doubt about that. If you ask me, did Christ rise from the dead? I'm just as sure. You couldn't talk me out of that. You could spend the rest of your life trying to talk me out of that. And I would hope that all of us would agree. Amen? We believe Christ rose from the dead just as much as if we had seen it. It is certain to me, as certain as I'm standing here. I didn't see what these people saw. I didn't experience what these people experienced. But I know it's true. These people had a unique opportunity. They had the experience, the soldiers, for example, of seeing the angel come and roll the stone away, and they were so frightened they couldn't move. And the women had the experience of seeing the empty tomb and then seeing the risen Savior and talking with him. But today we believe in the resurrection because the Bible says so, but there's a little more to it than that. If someone asks you, how do you know Christ is real? Because he lives in my heart. He does things in me that nothing else could do, nothing else would do. And when you received him as your Savior, he changed you. He made you different. He gave you conviction for sin you didn't have before. And he gave you peace about eternity you didn't have before. And we can't go on with that list. But when Jesus Christ died for you, think of what he did for you. He gave you eternal life. No doubt about that, because we believe he rose from the dead. The real question here is, what story is going to be told? Now, the soldiers have seen with their own eyes that nobody came to steal that body. They have seen with their own eyes an angel, and they've had an experience that is indisputable. And they took that information to the chief priests, and the chief priests believed what they had said. What's amazing to me is that in both of those cases, with the soldiers and with the priests and the elders, that even though they had what I think is irrefutable evidence that he rose from the dead, they still didn't want to believe it. They still didn't want the truth to be told. Folks, we need to tell the world Christ rose from the dead for them. And I'm not ashamed to tell anybody that. I meet people. I met a fellow a couple of weeks ago, and I thought to myself, think of what Christ could do if this fellow would truly receive Christ as his Savior. Brother Hill was telling me that a fellow got saved yesterday, I believe it was. And think of what Christ did when he saved you. And the eternity that he gave you and the life that he gave you. But some people simply won't believe. I'm going to look at three groups of people here, three situations really that you see in this passage. The question is, what are they going to do with the truth? And let's talk about these soldiers first of all. And I have a high regard for people in the military. They endure a lot in order to train. They have expectations placed upon them that are much greater than people in civilian life typically. And then, of course, soldiers that fight in combat or in combat situations take the risk of losing their life in battle or for that cause that they're fighting for. And these Roman soldiers, they were proud and they were definitely dedicated men. And I don't want to say anything bad about them, but they made one bad decision. And that is, they decided, instead of telling the truth, they would tell a lie so that they could get some money. And it's kind of humorous. Again, I like that phrase. When you look at verse 12, it says, they gave large money unto the soldiers. Folks, I trust you would agree with me. There is no price that I can place on myself that would cause me to lie about the resurrection. Someone says, Pastor, I give you $1 million. I couldn't do that. You know, don't test me there, but I'm telling you, I couldn't do that. What would it take to keep somebody quiet? Someone says, well, if I had enough money, I'd be quiet. Do you know that there are people that put money before God? They do, don't they? In fact, they make money an idol. They trust in money. They serve money. They spend their time seeking money. You got to be careful, because we have learned. I remember when I was a little boy, my dad, if he gave me a quarter or a dollar bill, I was talking to Brother Tim earlier about having a paper route when I was a little boy. When I was in the 7th grade, I believe it was, I had a newspaper route and I was making $35 a month. I thought I was rich. That was a bunch of money. Up until then, maybe a dollar or two a month might have been what I would have gotten. And $35 a month as a 7th grader, which would have been about 1968, maybe something like that. It was a lot of money. But I remember when I wanted that paper route, I remember distinctly, I prayed to God and I said, Lord, I really would like this paper route. And if you give it to me, I will tithe. As if that was something that of course you're going to tithe. It's God's money. Amen. But God, when I got that paper, I knew it came from God, and learned way back as a little boy back then that God can answer prayer and that God can meet your needs abundantly. My family was poor, 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 but I had $35 a month to buy things like shoes and pants and shirts and things like that that I wouldn't have had otherwise. And I learned what money could do in my life. Folks, I want to ask you this. Be honest with yourself. Have you learned what God can do in your life? Think about that for a minute. Do you know God can do things for you money can't do? In fact, do you know the money you have comes from God? Amen? God can do things in your life that money can't do. God is able. You say, well, Pastor, if I had a little more money, maybe I should just miss church. Maybe I should just spend my time making money. Folks, don't put money ahead of God. And that's exactly what happened with these soldiers. And they were literally risking their reputation and to some extent risking punishment, although the priests assured them, oh, if this comes to the governor's ears, if the governor found out that they were sleeping on guard duty, it was probably going to be their neck. And by the way, after I've seen all the things I've seen the priests do, I'm not sure I would like to trust in them. They're not the most trustworthy people that I've seen from what I've seen them do here. The soldier said, okay, you give us enough money, we'll lie about it. Folks, don't let money keep you quiet, amen? There may be a day, in fact, what's happened this last year in California, there was a church, and they said to that church, if you assemble to worship God, we're going to fine your church. I think it was $50,000 for every Sunday you meet. What they're doing, they're saying, what's more important to you, money or God? Folks, it ought to be God. when it comes down to whether or not we tell people about Christ, in our nation, there may be a day when it will be illegal to stand anywhere, particularly in a church pulpit, and declare the truth of the Bible. Things like, for example, that God created you either male or female, and that's the end of the story. It was His decision, not yours. God did not intend for homosexuality to be practiced. It is wicked. God calls it an abomination. It may be in my lifetime that's going to be an illegal thing to say. And I trust that the week they pass the law, I hope that Sunday, thousands of pastors stand in the pulpit and preach the Bible. Amen. Now, let me tell you something. There's more in the Bible than what's wrong. There's also what God did that's right. And if you just pick the wrong and don't preach the right, you got a problem. But I want you to know this. As long as God gives you and I strength, whether it costs us money or whether it costs us incarceration or whatever, we need to be willing to obey God rather than man. And you remember, I hope you remember the story of people like Paul. He was cast into prison because he preached about Jesus. He was willing to pay whatever price it took. The soldiers are a picture of some people that said, nope, money's more important to us than telling the truth. And that's really sad because I have to ask myself, I wonder if those fellows ever even would have gotten saved or if they would have just propagated that lie. There's a second group of people here. You've seen them already. Let's talk about them for a minute. And those folks are in verse 12. The priests are mentioned in verse 11, and then in verse 12, the elders. This is a collection of these fellows, and they got together and they said, oh no, what are we going to do? You see, the soldiers came in and said, I got bad news for you guys. We were sitting there guarding that tomb, and you wouldn't believe what we saw. Something, I don't know if they knew it was an angel or not, something, some being came and white like you've never seen white and moved that stone away. And inside that tomb, there was no body. The body of Jesus was gone when that stone got rolled away. And soldier told the priest this. I think about that time, I think if I would have been a priest, I'd have probably had to think to myself, wow, we made a big mistake, didn't we? Maybe we better find out how to get this taken care of. Nope, they were determined and they said, here's what we're going to do. We're going to pay you to keep your mouth shut. And why would they do that? And here's the reason. You see, all along, the problem the priests had with Jesus was this. They were afraid that people would follow Jesus instead of following them. They were afraid that the people would make Jesus the one that was most important rather than the priests. And then ultimately, since they were fighting against him, they were afraid that they were going to suffer the consequences of being in the wrong if the people decided Jesus was in the right. Folks, Jesus is right. And the question is, are we willing to walk with him even if it costs us friendships? Even if it costs us position, even if it costs us not being accepted into certain things. Let me make some practical examples. I knew a fellow in Maryland that was an officer in the military, and he told me, he said, I'm going to have to resign. And the reason he had to resign was because they were beginning to require them to do things regarding homosexuality and such that were unethical. And he said, I can't do that. I'm a Christian, and they're going to make us do it if we're going to have to choose between being a soldier and being a Christian. Folks, I hope you've all chosen to be Christians. What if that costs us something? What if that means that certain people... I had a bunch of friends in college when I was backslidden, and for the most part, they won't have anything to do with me because all you got to do is look at my Facebook page, and there I am preaching. That's the end of that. They're done with me. Are you willing to tell the truth about the Lord Jesus Christ, even if it costs you some friends? And now, stay with me. This is very important. It's not just what we say with our mouth that demonstrates our faith in a resurrected Christ. It is also the way we live our life. This morning, we were coming to church, and my next door neighbor has got himself a bicycle. I'm kind of jealous. I wish I had one like it. It's a nice bike. And we're driving down the road, coat and tie, headed for church, obviously. Where else are you going in a coat and tie on Sunday morning? And we rode by him on the road, and he's riding his bike and looked pretty happy. He waved to us, and we waved to him. He knows who we are. Folks, when you come to church, you're demonstrating you believe in a resurrected Savior. Amen? When you come out on visitation, we had a good time on visitation this last Tuesday night. Brother Greg and I went to be with Tim and Karen and had a good time at their house. And when you go out visiting, that's telling people you believe in a resurrected Christ. When you witness to folks, when you hand out a tract, when you live a godly life, you're demonstrating that you believe in a resurrected Christ. And the Bible says all who live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. It's going to cost you something, but it's also going to gain you something, because there may be some men that don't appreciate you, but God does. Amen? You see, the priests were more interested in being important to the people than they were in being right with God. They've already falsely convicted Jesus. They've already lied about this. And they're willing to put their position ahead of pleasing God. I hope that we make decisions in our life. It's on the back of the bulletin if you want to read it. So what we do ought to be because we want to please God, not because we want to please other people. Amen? All right, let's look at one more thing here, and it gets kind of exciting now. So you see the soldiers, and they were willing to put money before the truth. And you see the priests, and they were willing to put position before the truth. But now, come down to verse 16. We're going to look at these verses again next week, so I won't spend too much time here. But there's the 11 disciples. They went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. We'll look at that next week. And when they saw him, they worshiped him. Folks, he's worthy of worship. We call this a worship service, and it is a time when we set aside to gather together and learn about him, to pray to him, to sing to him, to serve him. That's what this is, a worship service. You were here to worship God. Someone told me one time that they went out to the mountains on Sunday morning to worship God, and my first question was, who's preaching out there? And there's nobody preaching out there, and there's no Christian music out there. I think you're deceiving yourself. Now, the church house, we assemble, the Bible tells us to assemble, amen? And so we come together, they worshiped him, and then it says, but some doubted. Do you trust God? Amen? You know how you know you trust God? It's not by what you say. It's by what you do. Now, I'm very well aware that you're not perfect. I'm not perfect. I'm not saying that we're going to be sinless. But what I am saying is this. If we trust God, it'll change the way we live. It'll change the decisions you make in your life. You see, there were 12, and then Judas Iscariot has hung himself. And now there's 11. And later on in Acts, they're going to replace Judas with somebody else. But the real hero in Acts is Peter and Paul in particular. But right here, with these 11 gather, it doesn't give the details in Matthew, but we know the story. You've heard the fellow named Doubting Thomas. And remember Thomas said, not in this gospel, but in the other gospels, he said, I will not believe unless I can put my hand in the wound. I don't think he has risen. That's a terrible kind of doubt. And Jesus let Thomas touch him to prove that he was alive and he was resurrected. And so much for the Jehovah's Witnesses idea that he only rose in spirit. Folks, his body rose from the grave. But some doubted. Some doubted. Folks, when God makes a promise, does he keep that promise?
Yes.
Amen? So he promised to answer our prayers? You ever doubt that? He promised to meet our needs. Amen? Recently, this last year especially, a lot of folks stepped into eternity. And I just found out a few weeks ago that the woman that had adopted me had died back in 2017. And a lot of people have been dying in the last couple of years. And you start to ask yourself the question, how did we live our life? How did I live my life? Did my life demonstrate that I trust God? Or did my life demonstrate that I trust me or trust what I can do? I hope your life demonstrates you can trust God. Amen? You know, here's how you can trust God. You want something, and you know you have to choose between that and serving God. I want that. But I'm going to serve God, even if it costs me that. And if God wants to, he'll give that to me. And if he doesn't, I didn't need it. And that's one way to trust God. Here's another way to trust God. It's back to the money thing. I can serve God. It's going to mean I can't make money. I can't do this. I can't do that. But I'm going to serve God anyway. And at the end of the day, folks, when it's all said and done, God's the one that should be shaping your life. He's the one that should be giving you what you have. And he will if you'll serve him. Amen? And you may not have, in fact, you will not have a trouble-free life. But if you'll trust God and obey him, I love the special, trust and obey. Folks, he will give you happiness that you cannot find anywhere else. Some doubted. There is that group of people, and I think we are in this group of people, that say, I know he rose from the dead, and I am going to tell people about that, and I'm not ashamed of it, and I'm going to pay the price for it if I have to. It may cost me money. It may cost me reputation. I may not have some friends because they don't like what I believe. They don't like the way I look or the way I act, and because they don't love God like I do, and we decide all that, and I hope you're in that camp. That those folks that believe he rose from the dead. But be careful. The devil's going to try to get you to doubt a little. It may not be doubting the resurrection. It may just be doubting the Bible. Doubting some promises. I remember I talked to a pastor one time. I was going through a bad time in my life. And very financial distress. Like just couldn't believe it. And I'd been faithful to God. I'd been tithing and giving to missions. And all of a sudden I was not just broke. I was in debt. I had no choice. It was a medical thing that my wife had to have, and we didn't have any insurance, and all of a sudden I was in debt. And I remember going to the pastor and saying, did I miss something? The Bible says that Jesus is going to meet my needs, and here I am in debt. Did I miss something? He said, no, you didn't miss anything. God's going to provide your needs. And you know, he did. And it's astounding how he did. How he paid the debt so quickly and took care of everything. And I had to do my part. We're going to see that tonight. It's an exciting message tonight. Please come back. Really exciting message. I had to do my part, but God kept his word. Folks, if you'll believe him, he'll keep his word. Don't doubt. Something I suspect in most of our lives right now that God wants us to do. It may be just to be more faithful. It may be to serve him in a certain way. It may be to do something specific. And a lot of the time we start to think, if I do what I think God wants me to do, it's going to cost me something. And then we say, maybe I don't want to do that. Maybe I don't want to pay that price. No, trust God. Amen? Here's the sad thing. Thomas is the fellow we're talking about that doubted. You never hear another thing about him in the Bible. I don't read about him in the book of Acts. I don't read about him in any of the epistles. His name is never seen again. He was a disciple. He was one of the 11 that were there, saw the resurrected Jesus, but he doubted. And here's what happens. The devil would like to get enough doubt into your life to get you on the sidelines. To get you out of God's will, just enough out of God's will that you can't serve him. Because you see, praise the Lord, the devil can't take you to hell. You're saved. If you're not saved, please get saved today. The devil cannot take you to hell if you're saved. But that doesn't mean he's done messing with you. He sure does want to get you on the sidelines. He wants to get you to do nothing for God if he can. And he'll try anything. You think the priests are wicked and deceptive. You ain't seen nothing yet. The devil's got tricks up his sleeve you never have even heard of yet. And he's going to try to get you out of church. He's going to try to get you away from being faithful. He's going to try to get you angry with somebody or angry with the pastor or angry with another church member. Or he's going to try to get you somewhere that he can stop you from being what God wants you to be. Don't let him do it. And it comes right back around to this. And I'm being general, but I'll just say, like I said in Sunday school, you need to believe every word in this book. And then you need to find some specific words that apply to you. You've done that when you got saved. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen? I may not know every verse in the Bible, but I know that one. And I called on the Lord and he saved me. Amen? If you can trust your eternal soul and where you're going to be for all eternity, if you can trust God with that, can't you trust him for the next few years? Amen? And you say, well, Pastor, what if? No what if. Just trust God. And I've seen it time and time again. People that will trust him and just wait. Wait upon the Lord, and he'll renew your strength, like the Bible says in Isaiah. But he'll take care of you. It won't always be just what you wanted, but it will always be what's best. Thomas missed out on that somehow because he doubted. We understand Christ rose from the dead. We have a faith that's based on the Word of God and the Holy Spirit working in our heart. These fellows saw it. But they made the same mistake that some of us make. Some of them said, give me enough money and I'll keep my mouth shut. Some of them said, we'll do whatever it takes as long as we can maintain our position. Even though we have evidence that this happened, we're going to deny that because we don't want to lose our place. We like being popular. We like being important. We like being liked. But then there was a group, and I hope we're with them, that said, we saw it, we know it, and we're going to tell people about it. And that's what the disciples did. And please don't let that some doubted phrase apply to your life. Amen? Just believe him. The devil's going to give you opportunities, and God will too in certain ways, to test your faith. He's going to try your faith. The Bible says the trying of our faith in the book of James is more precious than silver and gold. There'll be days when you'll say, oh no, what's about to happen? We're going to see that tonight. I'm looking forward to tonight's message. But folks, if you'll just trust God, he'll take care of you. I'm living proof, and you are too. Let's not doubt. Amen? So who are you going to tell? You know he rose from the dead. Who are you going to tell? Ought to be some people in mind there. Amen? I knew a pastor in Maryland. He's with the Lord now. And he made a decision, a promise to God. He said, I'm going to tell somebody, at least one person every day, I'm going to tell what Christ did for them. And last I knew, that church was running about 350 in an interesting part of Maryland. And that fellow was faithful to do his part, and God did his part. Tonight, you're going to see that very clearly in the message. But right now, I ask you again, who are you going to tell? Who's God got that he's laid on your heart? You need to tell that person. You say, well, Pastor, I'm worried if I say something to them, they might not like me. That's the same thing the priest said. Pastor, I'm worried if I tell that person, it might cost me something. That's what the soldier said. Let's be like the disciples and let's just tell folks about him. Amen? And don't doubt his promises. Let's stand and pray.